Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
We'll get started right after this message.
If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at Amazon.com or visit Matthew's website, www.matthewpkaufman.com. Again, that's Amazon.com or www.matthewpkaufman.com. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. We are so excited to have a dynamic power couple. We've got Christy and Anthony Primmer joining us today from Canada. This is our first
international.
We've gone international on Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. So welcome to the two of you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Matt and Kim. We're so grateful to be here. And I mean, we won't disappoint.
I love it.
Not a question in my mind, Christy, after looking at what some of the things you do. And it's kind of funny. I got to say, Christy, Holly Hanlon works for me and she's our director of operations. And she recommended, she goes, you got to talk to Christy and her husband. They're some cool kick-ass people. And after she said that and made the introduction, I'm a regular contributor on Gail Guardo's Bloom TV in Tampa, Florida on the NBC affiliate. And I saw that you had done it also. So I got to watch your clip. And it was kind of cool that we've both been able to visit with Gail. And I try to get on about twice a month with her. And so we've got that in common as well. But really, the first question we like to start off with is, I would like to hear from both of you, what makes you a kick-ass couple?
Well, what makes us a kick-ass couple is that Christy is, we complement each other. That's the big thing. We complement each other. From the very beginning, we meshed together. We got along great together, complement each other. And we've both grown so much from when we first met. We're like two completely different people. But throughout that entire growth process, we've grown together stronger over that period. And so we continue to complement each other. So as Christy's like launched herself into stardom, I'm here for the ride, but I'm here to help and complement.
What do you think?
I love you. I would say what makes us a kick-ass couple is all of that, but at the foundation, we have our faith and we are in this to win it. So we made the decision when we got married many, many years ago that we were going to be the most epic couple we could be and be in a representation, not just for our son, but for other people. So I think we're doing a pretty good job.
That's great. Well, I want to follow up on a couple of things. You said, Anthony, that you said that you're not the same people you were when you married. Tell me, what do you think the biggest change has been when you got married and what you've learned and what you've done and where you've grown to today? How would you describe that to our audience?
I think, well, first of all, if a couple thinks that they haven't changed, that's a problem with their perception, because people change constantly. Individuals, couples, groups, families, there's always change. And as our family's grown, I mean, our son's grown up. I've learned so much raising Nevin, our son, and just being a part of his life and trying to be, you know, a great role model in that. And as he's grown, I've had to grow. As a couple, I think as you mature, you know, things change, situations change, things are always changing and you have to grow with it. And when you're a kick-ass couple, it's just natural to grow stronger together.
Sure. Great answer. I love that. Thank you.
I love to, with all the people that we interview, and take a step back and really look at your history, because I feel like we are the product of the people who raised us in many cases. And I'm curious, Christy, what did love look like to you when you were growing up? How was it modeled for you in your family?
My dad treated my mother like a queen. My dad doted on my mother. He respected my mother. He respected family. So it was ingrained in me, family first. And, you know, treating my mother with respect set an example, a high standard, actually, of what I expected from my intimate partner.
Sure. And what are some examples of the way he doted on her?
Yeah, definitely. So he did everything from prepare her breakfast in the morning so she could get off to work, to accommodating. My mother did a lot of volunteer work in the community, as did my dad, but my mom was always busy. She was a very successful business manager, but she was also very busy in addition to raising two daughters. And my dad always did whatever he could to help make sure she was able to have her time. So as a child, I may not have registered what that was, but looking back and as I matured and grew, I realized that's exactly what he was doing. Also, you know, rubbing her back, the intimacy, not the sex piece, because I hopefully don't know about that, but the intimacy.
I don't want to see that part.
That's right. But holding her hand, rubbing her back, sitting together, asking her before he made decisions, and not for permission, but out of respect. And so those were ways that he really demonstrated what a king. I always say my husband is my king. So what a king is in a relationship.
And so that it sounds like Anthony had a lot to live up to coming into that relationship, right? Because that's what you know, that's what's familiar to you, and that's what's been modeled for you. How about you, Anthony? How did love look in your family when you were growing up? How was it modeled for you?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because for me, I think the structure seemed ideal from the outside looking in. And so it was like a format. It seemed like a simple plug and play format that if I just followed exactly what my parents did, what their parents did, what their parents before them did, they all followed the same structure. And it's amazing that I felt like it was actually a setup for failure, believe it or not, because when I got involved in an intimate relationship with my wife, I discovered that there was actually work involved, that it wasn't just this is the way it is and this is the way it's going to be, that you actually have to put in an effort. And not only was it a great thing to discover for myself, but it was also great in developing a closer relationship and bond with my parents, because, you know, I talked about things that I had never talked about with them before, because it always just seemed, you know, it was just natural. That's just the way it was. And now I, you know, realize myself that that there is work involved, and that even though I didn't see things going on with my parents, that there was work behind the scenes happening.
Great question.
That is a good point.
Well, nice to know. So has it been hard to live up? Was it a big adjustment for you to live up to that role as king in that relationship?
He got the tattoo.
Yeah. Yes and no. Yeah, we have our king and queen tattoos there.
Oh, I love it. That's great.
Yeah, we got those for our anniversary.
But go ahead. What was it hard?
You know what? I don't think it was hard. I mean, her dad definitely set the bar high. And it definitely was a challenge, but it was like an exciting challenge. You know, it's like it's like anything family. When you're involved in family, it's like everything's a challenge, right? Raising a child is a challenge. You want to be the best dad you can be. You want to set that bar high for yourself. So the bar was set high, but in the short time that I had with her dad before he passed, I got to learn a lot from him. It was amazing to, experience and see and talk and learn just how he operated.
Sure.
Yeah. Great model. It wasn't difficult, but it was a fun challenge.
Short time being 14 years. My dad's been gone for 8 years. So 14 years of connection that you had.
Sure. We had that. Kim and I, when we got married, Kim had met my mother one time and we dated. And then she passed away before we had even a second date. So she gets to hear about my mother and the legacy that I demonstrate, but she hears about it from other people. So 14 years is a long time. I know it seems
a long time. Sometimes it feels like a long time. Sometimes it feels like a very short time.
But that's great that you got to experience that legacy. And it kind of leads naturally. We have 14 pillars in our program. I think you guys probably have a sheet that has those on there. And we really feel strongly that the foundation of any great relationship is going to start with what we call the three C's. Those are the first three of our pillars. And the first C, the most important or the cornerstone of your foundation, is commitment. So Christy, I'd love for you to share with us, what does commitment look like in your relationship with Anthony?
Oh, definitely. That's easy to answer. We are in it to win it. Like I said previously, it's like always recommitting. So no matter what, as we're in different seasons of our relationship, you know, recommitting, staying focused on why and on what, and letting that be the foundation.
So you feel like it sounds like there's a strong commitment from your sense, no matter what season you seem to be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No plan B.
Yeah. That's right.
Even though you're going, well, is there an option here? How about you, Anthony? How do you see commitment show up in your relationship with Christy?
I mean, it's exactly the same way. We both have a very strong faith, and I think it makes it a lot easier when you join into a relationship with someone, when you share the same faith basis, because then there is no plan B. There is no plan B. We're made to be with each other. We were put together for a reason. We both wholeheartedly believe that. And at the worst times, it's stepping back and saying, what's the reason we're together? Why are we supposed to be together? Why are we meant for each other? You know, you question those things. You never question whether you're meant to be together. You sometimes at the worst points, it's what am I supposed to be learning from Christy? Because obviously if things aren't, you know, if there's a struggle, then there's a reason for that struggle, and it's just figuring it out, right? There's no other option. There's no option of we're not meant to be together. We're not designed to be together. That's not an option. So,
sure.
So in any of the hard times, it's always, you don't question whether you're meant to be together. You question why you're going through that struggle and what you're meant to learn.
Right.
Sure. What you're meant to learn from that struggle, because exactly. We look at it as when you are struggling, you know, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for growth and sometimes change, but necessary.
Mm-hmm. I'd love for you Kim and I have a strong faith and it's at the foundation of our relationship. Do you mind either one of you talking about that idea? You say your relationship and the strong faith. What role does that faith have in your commitment to each other? How does that interplay or work, or what does that look like?
I would say our foundation of God first. And so we've always believed the family that prays together stays together, because it's not if we struggle, it's when. And, you know, for me, I don't know, you know, if you agree with this, Anthony, but it's putting that godly marriage ahead of the temptations when, you know, because there's all kinds of opportunities to stray. There's all kinds of things that can happen and frustration. And as you mature with your partner, even, and it's always going back to that foundation of what we have built, not only our marriage on, but our home, our family.
Right. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'd like to talk about our second pillar, which is communication. And, you know, good communication in a relationship is vital. So I'm curious, how do you communicate? How do you find time to communicate?
That's absolutely right. Communication is vital. And we both preach that nonstop. Communication is vital at all times, especially, you know, as you grow and develop, you have to communicate. And We make sure that we make specific time to communicate. And I think that's the important thing. You can't set time to communicate while Netflix is on or while you're watching TV, or you have to actually set time that it's just the two of us, and that's our time to communicate, and there's no other distractions, there's nothing else. And that's just it. And I used to have a hard time with it at first because I wasn't one to communicate. And I'm sure for Christy, it was even more frustrating because it was like pulling teeth to get me to, you know, communicate. But, you know, as we set that time apart, it ended up being, we set an hour aside and it's already been three, you know, that time's up already. Cause once I got talking, then it's getting me to shut up, I guess.
I love it. And I think I really appreciate you pointing out to our listeners that you carve out that time, you create that time, and you make that space in your relationship to be able to have communication. So many people think if we sit down and watch a movie together, this is us communicating, this is us spending time together, when in reality, it's not. It's the time when you are putting away cell phones, you take away the distractions, and you are just together, the two of you. And like you said, 2 hours can go by and you're still talking, because I feel like there's just so much, there's always so much to say. Even if we've said it before, you know, we say it again and it's heard maybe differently. So thank you for sharing that. How about you, Christy? How would you say, you've got a lot of irons in the fire. You are busy. You are just, you know, every day your plate is full. How do you find time to communicate with Anthony?
For me, it's prioritizing it, of course. And I think we've developed something Anthony's taught me is communication is not always through verbal language. And I love that because we have this, I can't explain it, but we have this way of communicating through touch, through just energy, like just being around each other and knowing that we don't always have to talk, you know, like on a car ride or something. You know, the other thing though, honestly, Kim, that's a bit important is we have a house in Florida as well. And so there's lots of times where I'm there for a month or two or three alone while Anthony's back here doing business. And so we prioritize our FaceTime. We prioritize connecting through text messages throughout the day, and not with the intention of someone has to reply right away, just with the intention of what I call little love notes or little messages, and just finding ways to not only keep our marriage spicy, but keep the stability, the solid foundation of the communication.
Sure. So you have a lot of touch points, it sounds like, throughout the day, and it doesn't have to be literally touching each other, but we are connecting with each other in some way.
Yeah. Even little texts through the day, Christy's always, and vice versa. And it's gotten to the point now that when I've got a few minutes, I want to take my phone out and text her a quick hi. And we've gotten to a point where we're almost doing it at the exact same time. It's really amazing.
A deep connection for sure. I love it.
Really fun to hear.
Our third C, or in third pillar that we have, is conflict resolution. And, you know, it's not a question of if, there's always conflicts that arise, and it could be something you did, something you didn't do, or something that happens to you or your business. So when conflict does arise, Christy, how do you guys handle it? How do you approach it?
Well, we've learned a lot of different ways that didn't work. So I'll start with that. Trying to keep respect at the forefront, you know, goes back to our values and our commitment to one another. But learning that forgiveness is vital to a healthy marriage. Like, we have to address the elephant in the room. And I think because our communication is so on point for the most part, we haven't had, touch wood, any big issues come up that we haven't been addressing as they could be potentially building, if I'm saying that correctly. So when things are coming up, it's a matter of, it's safe for Anthony to say, hey, I didn't like it when you said this, or when you did that, it hurt my feelings, or vice versa. And knowing that that's not a catastrophic conversation, it's a way to nip problems, bigger problems, in the bud, actually.
Sure.
When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder what you could be doing better? Have you ever thought how helpful it would be to be a part of a like-minded community of other imperfect couples who want to level up in their number one relationship? Come visit Kick-Ass Couples Nation, where you can talk with people just like you who are looking for ways to invest in and increase their joy, commitment, and fulfillment in their most important human relationship. You'll have access to a team of licensed marriage therapists, coaches, articles, podcasts, live webinars, and more. Just visit MatthewPHoffman.com so you can learn more about a community that's ready to help you level up. That's MatthewPHoffman.com so you can become of the growing Kick-Ass Couples Nation right now.
So you really deal with them as they come along before they become something that could, you know, potentially explode later, which I feel like, don't we hear that sort of all the masters that do this conflict thing well, that's the way they roll. They just deal with it right as it comes. And it really does, I think, make a difference when you can just lightly put your hand on your spouse and say, hey, you know, when you just said that, it really hit me a certain way. Those are important.
Yes, and what I've also learned, because Anthony has been really good at this from the get-go, and we've been together 18 and a half years, I've learned that not everything has to be an issue. Not everything is a problem.
Right. So, I mean, we throw the statistic around a lot. Two-thirds of all conflict are issues that are perpetual and will never be solved. So you go, wow, what do you do with that two-third? And it's about finding understanding. Yeah. It doesn't mean accepting. It doesn't necessarily mean agreeing, but it means finding why and understanding it and respecting it. And then because you love the person as much as you go forward, I'd love to hear, can you guys think of what one of your biggest conflicts or challenges was, or what that you guys had to deal with? And can you share with us what you did to get through it? How did you get on the other side of something that you had a disagreement on or seemed to really be a sticking point in your relationship?
You go ahead, because we've only really had one major issue.
Now it's up to me to discover what that
means. So, see if you get it right, Anthony.
This is a test.
Actually, I already know. It's the first thing that popped in my head. Certain people that are in your space.
Family.
And so it can be very difficult. And it's a really common problem. And it was a real conflict, because they were close family members of mine, and they were causing problems. And being a close family member of mine, I didn't know how to address it. So it was easier for me to let them get away with it and then just deal with the aftermath with my spouse afterwards. Mm-hmm. And that really wasn't working out. Right? Because basically I'm putting the feelings of this family member that is in the wrong above my spouse, whom I love more than anything in the world. Right. And just expecting her to understand. And that really didn't work. And it took a while.
Years.
Yes, it did. It took years. In fact, it's one of those problems that never goes away. So the resolve, what we found, the resolve is limiting your time with those people, first of all, and secondly, I did have to man up and learn how to properly deconstruct the conflict with that person.
Sure. I love that example, because as you said, this is a common problem in relationships. You know, dealing with family can be challenging. And it's really easy to put our spouse second and deal with, like you said, the aftermath with our spouse than it is sometimes with our family. And, you know, we wonder, why do we do that when this is my partner for life, and this is my teammate, and this, I'm supposed to be protecting this person. So I appreciate you bringing that up, because I feel like a lot of us fall into that trap. And you acknowledged it, you realized what was happening and you were able to work through it.
Yeah. You guys said a magic word earlier, prioritization. And that's what's unique about our brand and what we do and why we do what we do. And if we're prioritizing our spouse, this woman next to me is my number one human relationship, right? After God, same thing. Then I've got to be willing to let all that other stuff go or figure out a way to work through it. And in the book I wrote, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex, one of the chapters is adopt your parents as your own. Because I realized, Anthony, early on in our relationship, I said, okay, they're her parents, they're not mine. I love them, but there's some issues that are there. And I've got to either love them the way she does or learn to, or there's going to be a problem. Because I can't say they're yours and you deal with it. I got to love them and learn to love them and see the goodness. And there's a lot of good there. It's not a problem. They're beautiful, wonderful people. But I had to learn to love them like she does and make that a priority. And I did that because of my commitment to her. And that was a lot of growth and maturity on my behalf that I had to go through. So I appreciate you both sharing that example and how you work through it. Because I think it's something that if we're prioritizing our spouse, then it's easy to make the decisions that allow our spouse to stay in that first place. And we're willing to let the other stuff go.
Mm-hmm. We have a total of 14 pillars, and we've just discussed the first three. The first three C's is what we call them, but there's 11 others. And so, Anthony, I'm curious, of the 11 pillars, and I believe you have the list in front of you, is there one that really resonates with you, one that really stands out to you and means something to you?
Yeah. I think for me, selflessness was one that stood out. Christy and I have done a hump day show for years where we get on camera and we just talk about what's going on and try and help other couples. And we've attacked a lot of these pillars on the regular. And I don't know why selflessness stuck out. I think it's because it's one of the trickier items, I think. Because selflessness is it's a subtlety. It's a subtlety because you can't just you can't be a couple and you can't be involved and be, you know, 100% selfless where everything is up to your partner and everything is decided by your partner and whatever she wants goes and I don't have input or say. Or that's not what selflessness is about. So I think selflessness stuck out for me because of the subtleties to it. And how it's about putting your partner first is what it is. It's about putting your partner first in all things and having consideration for your partner and everything that you do. But it's not about, you know, it's not about not being yourself or not being, you know, a significant, not taking on a significant role, not standing up when you can or when you need to. And so I think there's a careful balance there. Mm-hmm. And it's a real, it's one of the pillars that has a lot of subtleties to it. And I like it.
Selflessness is a big one. And, you know, it's hard to, like you said, it's hard to do that and consistently. I think sometimes, you know, we can come home from a really long, hard day and we're tired. And, you know, the last thing we want to do is put someone else before ourselves. But I think when we do that and we are pouring into our partner, it comes back tenfold. I really believe that. How about you, Christy? Is there a pillar that stands out to you, one that really resonates with you?
Yeah, it's one that's actually one of our key non-negotiables in our marriage, and that's intimacy. I'm really big on intimacy, sexual intimacy, of course, and also intimacy in other ways, other gestures and behavior.
Intimacy is huge. It plays such a big role in our relationship. And I think feeling close to our partner, you know, physically, it just builds such trust and really makes for a special relationship. So I like intimacy too. It's one of my favorites as well.
I do too. And I've learned that, you know, there's emotional, there's intellectual, there's spiritual, there's physical, meaning proximity and touch, non-sexual, And then, of course, there's sexual. And, you know, Anthony, I mean, as a guy, most guys, if you say intimacy, they go sex, right? And that is, but if you want that great result physically, all the other stuff has to be there. When we're connected spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, and physically in proximity, and all those other things are clicking, it makes the physical part of it so much better and real. And I think it's an ongoing challenge to get men to focus and work on that and understand that, you know, that's how we get there. And so I appreciate that, Christy. And, you know, another question I have for you guys is Kim and I are big subscribers to the idea of overflow thinking. And we think the strength of our relationship overflows into areas of our lives. So if our relationship is strong and we're humming and we're connected, every other area of our life is winning, because if I'm pouring into Kim so much that she can't keep all that goodness, she's going to bless everybody she comes into contact with because of the work that I'm doing, and vice versa. So I'd love for you each to share, how do you see the success of your relationship spilling over into other areas of your life?
Yeah, it's like you said, it's an aura that overspills, and it's really easy. It's actually effortless. It seems for the most part that you have this aura, and people are just like, wow, you know, you're really happy. You're in a really great mood. And it's like, yeah, you're right. I am, you know, I hear it all the time from people who meet and talk to Christy. It's like they just want to be in her aura. And I'm like, yeah, I get to be in it all the time. And I just, you know, I take it away with me always. And it doesn't take much to get that refill. And it's, you know, for me, it's really effortless. When I'm with her, I draw on her, you know, energy and aura. And then I, you know, take it with me. I don't have to do anything anywhere else. I'm always that happy guy because I get to come home to her.
Aw. I agree. You know, I think for it's been years of work, and we still work on things when we need to, but we genuinely love each other. We have an incredible family. We have an incredible bond with our son. We have an incredible bond with one another. And we spend a lot of our time talking about intellectual things. Anthony's the smartest man I've ever met, and he listens well. And so we feel good around each other, which means we show up in our careers and businesses feeling good. We parent feeling good. You know, we like to be that couple that radiates joy. And yes, that's not always the case, but for the most part it is. And, you know, we like to live a drama-free life.
Yeah. Beautiful.
We also like to go backward and talk a little bit about your unmarried self. And so, Anthony, if you could go back to your unmarried self, put your hands on your shoulders, and give yourself one piece of advice, what would that piece of advice be?
Jeez, that's a really good question.
What have you learned? You know,
I've learned so much. I feel like I can't even connect with my unmarried self. He's that different of a guy. I don't know if it would take like just hands on the shoulder or actually like a shake, maybe a swat in the head. I don't know. It would take a lot more than just hands on the shoulder for the unmarried me. You know, I think just, I would tell myself, you need to be a lot more open-minded. You've got a lot to learn, and there's a lot of people you can learn it from. You know, I never imagined, and this is kind of separate from my spouse, but I never imagined I could learn so much from a 6-year-old child, from a 7-year-old child, from a 10-year-old child, from my 16-year-old son, from my 20-year-old son. Like as he's grown up, like I just never imagined, you know, that how much of a two-way street the learning is there, or that I could learn so much from Christy's grandma, or from, you know, I guess as I was growing up as a single guy, I got all my knowledge from books, from education, from, and then I thought, you know, the knowledge that I had was, you know, great knowledge. I just never thought that you could learn so much from so many different areas, from so many different things that I would deem somewhat insignificant as a young single guy, that being married, being part of a family, being part of something bigger than myself it's been such an impact on me as an individual.
I love that.
I just taught myself to be open to that.
Yeah, that growth and learning mindset is big. And so I appreciate you sharing that. How about you, Christy? If you had to go back to your unmarried self and give yourself a piece of advice, what would you say?
I would say being in a committed relationship with an incredible man is so much better than the dating pool. That's what I would say.
I agree.
Find one right guy.
Yeah.
Yes. And also I would say, don't create flaws that aren't there. Create opportunities to grow.
Oh, nice.
Great advice. You guys have been so gracious with your time and being open and sharing from your own experience. We want to give you a shout out and a thank you for being authentic. And, you know, the whole goal of the Kick-Ass Couples podcast is to take from masters of relationships and share what they do and how they do it, so others can maybe get a little insight of what they might do or glean or keep learning how to level up and strengthen their own relationship. So thank you for your time and your wisdom. And if people want to learn more about the two of you and what you do, where should they go and where should they look to connect and see more of the good stuff that you guys are doing out there?
The easiest place to go is to my Instagram. There's lots of links there. It's a very streamlined place that you can see lots of our work. And of course, follow along the shenanigans. That's Christy_Primmer. And yeah, I'd love to hear the takeaways. And thank you for you two being courageous to do this and to help spread love and light in the world.
Our pleasure.
Great to have you both with us. It's been really a lot of fun. And Christy, I know you're doing a lot of great things out there. So keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys out there.
Yeah. Cheers.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's newly released book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com, and we'll get it over to you right away. Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen, it's on purpose.